Ladies and gentlemen, pay attention. This is your boy, the coach from the WWE. I would like to welcome you to the very first wrestling podcast in the world to take you on a weekly deep dive into classic matches along with legends of the squared circle. Enjoy the discussion. Enjoy the back and forth. There's so much to get into. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Payoff.
Awesome! I'm Tom. I'm with Jeff. This is The Payoff. Jeff, how the hell are you doing?
Doing good, my friend. Not bright and early recording for us. We usually do this in the evening, so I'm feeling pretty good. You know, start the day with some wrestling. How about you?
I so much prefer recording this in the morning. I have way more energy. I love it. It's like when we record in the morning, it's like my energy level at the beginning of going to a WrestleMania, right? Like I feel like
Yes.
It's noon. I'm having my first beer. I'm excited to, you know, walk to the stadium for WrestleMania. I'm hopeful of some great booking and some great matches. That's how I feel in the morning. How I feel when we record at 8 or 9 o'clock your time is like hour five, standing on your feet outside, watching, you know, a 10-man tag because we have to put everybody on the show, you know, so my energy level's way better right now.
Yep, I'm with you. So I'm ready to dive into this one. So,
all right, you picked it. Why?
Yeah, so this is one that, again, two reasons for this one. One, I say we are on the way to Survivor Series. We got a couple weeks out here, which, you know, the pay-per-view itself, we can talk about it during the match and kind of our thoughts on just the Survivor Series concept. But, you know, that combined with I don't know if you watched it or not, but the recent like WWE documentary they had on R-Truth, and he was talking about this match during that on the network 999, and it kind of, you know, piqued my interest because I'll be honest, I had forgotten about this match. I knew what we were building to with The Rock and Cena, but I had kind of forgotten about this one on the way, and but remembered Awesome Truth. So it's just, you know, weird with like the bits and pieces of it. So I wanted to dig in and kind of get a little bit more. That's why I wanted this one. How come you agreed to do this one with me?
Well, what's interesting is if you said to a lot of people, and hell, I mean, you might have. I remember this match, but I understand why you or other people would not have. If you would have said to me, like, hey, what was The Rock's return match after his long hiatus? Like, you originally are like, oh, yeah, him and Cena, the WrestleMania match, the once in a lifetime. Wrong. Nope. It was this match. So I remember this match just because I'm like, why are they doing it? But again, pay-per-view era, it's another payday. You get them in the ring. You know, they're the stage that they did it on. So, I mean, the continuing the build, and we're going to talk about all this. So I just think that the idea of them doing this match is interesting. And I know we'll talk more about it, but I believe that the Cena Rock build for their first WrestleMania match, which is going to come, you know, what, 5 months after the match we're covering here today, this whole year-long build, I think it's one of the better things that they've done in the last decade. And I actually think it's significantly underrated, and that may be because of people's dislike of John Cena, but I actually think this stuff that we're going to cover is really, really good. So I'm excited for this match. I don't remember much of what happened, so I'm excited to cover it. I'm excited to cover the build and the aftermath of this and leading into WrestleMania, and I know we'll cover WrestleMania at some point. So I'm excited. Are we ready to get into the build?
Let's do it, man. Let's talk about this one.
All right, so it is time for the build.
Oh, it's time for the build.
All right, dude, we're at Madison Square Garden. You have to wonder if that's part of the reason why we got The Rock back for this match, right? So, you know, the idea that, hey, we can have you do another match, have you do another payday, make sure that we continue building towards WrestleMania with something other than just promos. So let's get you in the ring. Let's put you guys together. Let's get you a payday. Let's pop a pay-per-view by. And, you know, let's get this build really going. Oh, by the way, you'll work a tag match so you can get your ring feet, take some bumps without having to carry a 25-30 minute main event. So there's a lot there that makes sense. Devil's advocate would be, you know, why not hold off on him coming back in the ring for the big match? So
yeah,
we're at the Garden. You know, you're going to have a great crowd, great environment. There aren't many guys that don't get amped up and excited to work the Garden. And I feel like we've got a number of Survivor Series at the Garden. Now, I'm going to go through the card. What Jeff, what I think is interesting, and maybe we save this for the match, but if you look at who's on this card, Did we pick the best matchup? So assuming you're going to go Cena Rock, did we pick the best opponents for them? So an interesting card, because frankly, there wasn't a ton on this. We open up with Dolph Ziggler, who at the time was accompanied by Vicky Guerrero, defeating John Morrison. Okay, so that's a United States Championship match. They go 10 minutes. Then we had a Lumberjill match of Beth Phoenix, who's your WWE Divas champion, defeating Eve Torres in 4 minutes. So we're at Survivor Series. Okay. This is the biggest the biggest pay-per-view of the fall. It's obviously one of the, you know, this was during, Jeff, this was during the era where Survivor Series kind of sucked. Remember how, like, it was cool when we were younger? And then they just kind of stopped doing the matches, and then it lost its identity. And I want to talk about this during
the match. Yeah, we need to talk more about it for sure.
But I think now they've kind of found their groove again in a different way. So this is during the era where, I mean, it was like, should we even continue doing the Survivor Series, right? So we're not off to a great start with this show. Then we get Team Barrett, okay, who's Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler again, Hunico, Jack Swagger, and Wade Barrett. I mean, defeating Kofi, Mason Ryan, Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Sin Cara. I mean,
and that's your Survivor Series match.
Shitty match.
Yeah,
right. 22 minutes. That went
at Madison Square Garden. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, so that's the first hour of your show is this stuff. Then here's this for a doozy: your World Heavyweight Champion, Mark Henry, who, fine, I thought he was a good, kind of interesting heel champion. Nothing wrong with that. Him and Big Show go to a DQ in 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It just, yeah. It makes, right. Yeah.
I mean, this has got to be one of the worst bigger pay-per-views I can ever remember. Then your semi-main event, CM Punk, okay, defeating Albert Del Rio by submission to become your WWE champion. Certainly no issue there. Good booking. Punk is your champion. 17 minutes. Ugh. But again, now we have the main event. The reason we're here, Cena Rock against Miz and R-Truth. The match we're going to cover is going to go 21 minutes. So it is clearly, I mean, you know, you wonder why they bring back Rock for Survivor Series. You take him out of this show, I mean, ugh. It's bad for like a B pay-per-view, you know, in May. I mean, this is just awful. So
yeah, terrible booking.
Yeah. I mean, this is, you know, again, we'll talk more about Survivor Series, but this is one of the worst bigger pay-per-views on paper, certainly, I have ever seen. So that's it. From a build standpoint, how do we get to this show? I'm really curious. Yeah. So cover
it. It actually does make a lot of sense, this build. It was very quick, but again, this Survivor Series 2011 was November 20th, so end of November. Starting in kind of August of that year, so just a couple months prior to this, you had R-Truth and The Miz attacking Santino Marella before one of his match, and pretty much what it led to was the two of them really calling out Triple H for not using them properly. You don't really get that angle on TV too much nowadays, but you might hear it like behind the scenes or things like that. But it does kind of make sense of just like, you know, and at the time they weren't doing a ton. And so it did kind of make sense to kind of, you know, push this angle and kind of go with that. And so the two of them just kind of kept interfering in other matches. CM Punk was another one they interfered with. They ended up beating actually, and I forgot about this one, Air Boom. It was Evan Bourne and Kofi Kingston. It was a disqualification, but they, you know, and so they didn't win the tag team championship on that one. But at this point they were calling themselves the Awesome Truth. The name, of course, coming from, you know, The Miz being awesome, his theme, all that good stuff, and then R-Truth being R-Truth. So, you know, it kind of just made sense. That's a good tag team name, too. Like, so many times they don't do a job of, you know, giving them a good name or matching gear or any of that stuff. Like, Awesome Truth, that's one of the higher tag team names that I like. So, you got that going for them. So, of course, them complaining to Triple H, kind of not being utilized properly. As we get in storyline, the two of them ended up, you know, after their tag team match against Air Boom, getting fired, which, you know, and it never lasts very long, though, of course. And so the two of them still getting involved and coming back at matches, even though that they were involved. It was actually a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view where they attacked some of the participants in that one. John Cena as well, too, one of them, the referee, of course, getting arrested because they're fired, don't belong there. You know, typical wrestling storyline there of kind of what was happening and what was going on. Like, you know, just makes sense. Like, just like you and me, if we jump the rail, we're going to get arrested. Like, just like them, they're going to get arrested. So, hey, you know, a little bit of, you know, a cohesive storytelling there makes sense to me. So, and then you had Vengeance, that the one of the next pay-per-views where they were, go back a little bit here. It was early October where actually John Laurinaitis reinstated them. And so then you have Vengeance, the pay-per-view after that. You had Awesome Truth. They actually beat CM Punk and Triple H. So kind of the, you know, storytelling made sense a little bit there. Weird to think of CM Punk and Triple H team tag teaming after everything we know now. But they actually won. It was actually interference from Kevin Nash. I had forgotten Kevin Nash was around at this point too. Yeah. And so, like, you know, having all that. And so they, and they actually that night too, when John Cena had his match against Alberto Del Rio, the two of them attacked them. And so you can, you know, very much playing up the heel angle, you know, kind of being involved in those matches. There's a little bit of, you know, we'll talk about it later in their views of like where they utilized well as heels, but, you know, they were definitely heels on this one. And so, but you get to late October and R-Truth and The Miz taking on Cena in a handicap match. Zack Ryder was actually supposed to be Cena's partner, but he had gotten laid out by the two of them backstage prior to this. And so taking on him in the handicap match, they ended up getting disqualified. And so Cena ended up winning this one. It was actually like a water bottle, and they just pretty much beat down Cena. But because of this and kind of, you know, Zack Ryder getting laid out, John Laurinaitis said that, that they would get a tag team, or Cena could get a tag team match against the Awesome Truth, and he could pick his own partner. Of course, some promos kind of building to a few different things. You know, it really, you know, it just, you know, he made a reference to, you know, wanting a guy who, quote, brings it. It was kind of what I read. And so, you know, kind of makes sense. You know, they were going, I don't know if you have this when you encounter too. It was, you know, while this happened at Madison Square Garden, a lot of the promos, like on the radio and TV, like spoiled this. And so they were airing it as already, like, I was reading that in the U.S. they were already saying, you know, that The Rock was going to be returning, not that necessarily he was going to be in the match, so he would be returning. And then I read, too, that in Canadian promos, like, they were calling the match what it was going to be. I've encountered that too when I've like been driving around town and listening to the radio sometimes, which I listen to podcasts mostly, but when occasionally I have the radio on. Like, and they're advertising like WWE SmackDown coming to, you know, and then they kind of give away what some of the stuff might be. And in TV, it may have not caught up to it yet. I don't know if you've ever experienced that too, of like, but you get like the spoiler of what's going to happen, you know, ahead of time. So,
well, yeah. I mean, between like the ads for house shows giving things away or the magazine used to, I mean, I know there were times where, you know, just they the timing was off or whatever. I mean, there's pay-per-view posters that have gave stuff away. I mean, yep. It used to happen all the time. You'd have to print magazines 3 months in advance. You'd have to tell the pay-per-view companies, you know, what the poster was, house show. The thing is back in the day, you couldn't sell 20,000 house show tickets without advertising. Well, you know, you had to advertise, Hulk Hogan, you're champion. Well, wait, what's, you know, so there'd be stuff like that would happen all the time. And the company didn't care as much, like, because it wasn't as widespread, but it was interesting. Yeah. I mean, but that stuff happened all the time.
I'll get like an email too, like the promotional, and it's like, you know, come see like Charlotte Flair. And it's like, wait, what? So anyways, because of this though, like one of the interesting thing, like of course, Madison Square Garden, you know, it's, you know, the mecca for wrestling in a lot of ways. Like it was already a hot ticket, but because they knew of this, one of the kind of sidebar kind of, you know, business pieces of this, I was reading that, and this was a point too, when StubHub was a little bit bigger, you know, we had this ability scalper, this was a hot ticket. And so because of what they announced, so you kind of have that, and then kind of watching the R-Truth documentary and having that it was actually capital punishment. It was June 2011 where R-Truth took on Cena, just the two of them. And he said that they were reaching, like he was like reaching for big moments. And so, interesting that like they, you know, really even at that point, they were kind of, you know, trying to get to that point. And so I think when we're now in November and we're seeing this pay-per-view, like at least Truth, like, you know, working with Cena and, you know, everything they kind of said about each other was that, you know, hard workers, they got along really well. This made sense from a behind the scenes perspective that maybe Cena was helping a little bit here to kind of move this forward, but you know, they had a good match at that. And then they get to, you know, reaching for that. And so, you know, like we said too, and this is the first time The Rock was in the ring in 7 years. And God, so
time flies, man.
And so like, we will talk during the match about like, was this the right time to bring him back? Like what, you know, did this make sense? But you know,
isn't that crazy that you said, so this is the first time in 7 years, right? Yes. But then this was 9 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
So it's just, I know it's crazy. Like, but time flies, man. So that's like basically 16 years that he really hasn't been around.
Yeah. And it just feels weird. Yeah. You know, of like kind of what we're dealing with and, you know, all that. But, and so, yeah. And so Truth said of this, like, though, this is one, you know, before we get into this one, like when we've kind of skipped it, but if you rewind a little bit from where we're watching, like when they first get down to the ring, R-Truth had said that like the two of them looked at each other and they just kind of said like, can you believe this? Because they knew the scope of the match that they were in. Like, so for them, while the card sucked, like the two of them,
understatement,
yeah, call it what it is. Like for them, like he himself said that this was reaching the mountaintop for him. And so, and that's pretty cool. Like when, you know, and not knowing what the 24/7, but I'm getting ahead of myself. So, but we've got John Cena and The Rock, R-Truth and The Miz, you know, little 2-3 month build to get there. We have not touched on the fact that at this point too, The Rock and Cena WrestleMania match has already been announced. Like the two of them have already agreed that they will be having their WrestleMania match in 2012, which was announced literally the day after WrestleMania of this
year. So good.
So
good. I mean,
yes, absolutely.
I mean, at the time, you know, so I went to the WrestleMania in Atlanta, you know, Rock's the ref, you know, he's kind of back in the fold. Well, I'll rewind. So do you remember when they announced The Rock as the special guest host of WrestleMania? Do you happen to remember?
I knew that he was, but I don't remember the circumstances.
Here's everyone's homework. And this includes you, Jeff. Go watch the special announcement when The Rock is named the guest host of WrestleMania. So they cue it up on Raw. They're like, look, we have a special guest host of WrestleMania. We're going to announce him at the end of Raw. Like that was like the build up for all of Raw. Okay. Not that I often watch Raw live, I happen to be traveling that night. So I'm at my hotel I got nothing else going on. I'm like, I'll just watch all of Raw. I remember I'm sitting in like the desk chair. I'm like kind of working, kind of watching Raw. The announcement comes on and I'm blanking on his name, Justin Roberts. Okay. Yep. And the special guest host of WrestleMania is silence. All the lights go off. If you smell, the place goes fucking bananas. It's one of the biggest pops ever. I jump out of my seat. Holy shit. Had no idea The Rock was coming back. Nobody did. It was so great. I mean, it was just so awesome because it was just a genuine surprise. Yep. You know, he came back for that. So I have no idea why I just told that story, but that was kind of what set the stage for all of this. Then he's at WrestleMania. Oh yeah. So then the night after WrestleMania, you know, with him being the special guest referee of that Cena Miz main event, dude, they just, you know, they, you know, Rock and Cena were like, next year headline WrestleMania. I mean, it was just so cool. I remember thinking, like, what if one of them gets hurt? Like, what? I mean, it's a year from now, but I just thought that was so smart to just say, look, this is our main event for WrestleMania next year. I thought it was so well done. And again, if you look at the past decade, I think it's one of the best builds, one of the most creative things they've ever done. I loved it. And I actually don't think it gets talked about enough. And then that match in Miami, really good match. Rock kind of got hurt a little bit, but it was a great match, great atmosphere. So I thought all of this was again, I just think it kind of slides under the radar in terms of like being one of the better builds of the past decade.
I always think that like, oh God, like we're going to have trouble finding a match. And then there's like a match like that we forget about that we haven't covered yet. And so when we're on the road to WrestleMania next year, that is when we will, spoiler for everybody, we will make sure it is on our list.
You're so right though. I think like every time I'm like, oh yeah, what, you know, are we going to have matches to cover? And then like, you know, like you sent me like,
I send you a text with, you know, 10
I'm
matches.
Like, I'm like, these are all great. Yeah. These are all great. Yeah. Some of them I forgot about. Some of them are just classics I can't wait to cover. And some of them I'm like, never seen that one before, but I'm really excited to cover it. So there's so many good ones. So it's a lot of fun. So
the payoff ain't going anywhere. That's the point. We're going to keep bringing it.
It is not. I rudely cut you off, is there anything else?
No, that's it. Like I said, I just want to make sure people remember that because we'll talk about that during the match, but that's it. I'm ready to go.
All right. I got a lot to cover during this match. So we are at the 2-hour and 20-minute mark of Survivor Series 2011. If you're watching on the WWE Network, in the ring, ready to go. 2-hour, 20-minute mark, Survivor Series 2011. It is time for the payoff.
Oh, it's time for the payoff.
All right, here we are. Rock looking jacked.
Miz looking tan.
This cigar is now a wonderful.
Got to stare down here. All right, so I'll start us off here. I know we both got a lot to talk about.
Rock just staring him down, place going nuts, looking around, starting with The Rock in the ring, which is really interesting. I mean, look at this, man. They're just, you know, this is great.
So the Survivor Series concept is just
good. Rock looks like movie star, but not like roided up, jacked up 48-year-old like he is now. He's gonna have to, I mean, I'll tell you what, if he comes back for another match, he's gonna have to, you know, you gotta recalibrate your body for that.
So the year prior to this, we had one Survivor Series match as well, too. Like out of eight matches on the card, there was only one Survivor Series match. And this one, you've got six matches and only one Survivor Series match. You know, prior to this, and then you get to 2012 where they had
Rock looks good, by the way.
And then you've got 2013 where you've got actually a couple, you got actually had a 7-on-7 and a 5-on-5. Why can't they get the Survivor Series? In my opinion, they're not getting it right. What you know, why isn't it always working for them? Like, well, why, you know, it just doesn't make sense.
So the look at the, let's look at the lineage of Survivor Series. Survivor Series has been around for over 30 years. Okay. When Survivor Series was created, it was created obviously with the intent of doing something special that wasn't WrestleMania, SummerSlam, or Royal Rumble. Okay. Mm. So it was something different. And so the idea of five heels versus five baby faces or four on four, whatever it is, was interesting.
Yeah.
It no longer is. It no longer is because we know it's a work. It no longer is because heels and baby faces aren't as clearly defined. The idea was you got these special attractions in the ring. It's your only chance to see, you know, Andre the Giant square off in the same ring as, you know, a heel or a baby face or whatever. You know, so, I mean, there was just, it was such a special attraction and so interesting to see these characters clash. Now we have, you know, 100 hours of programming a week. You've seen all these guys in the ring together. We know that there aren't traditional heels and baby faces. So the concept, you know, just isn't, it stopped being interesting at some point. And it probably stopped being interesting in the late 90s. And it just, so you had to recalibrate. And so, you know, they tried to create these, you know, interesting scenarios, like, you know, this one with Barrett. Clearly no one gave a shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, I'm kind of looking over like the list of main events. I think it's something that gets lost too. Like, that between 20, let's just say, and 2000
the Rock with a perfect plex didn't get great because the referee wasn't going, but man, that was good. He looks great, man. Even Cena's surprised.
Right. So between, let's just say, the last 15 years, there's only been 1, 2, 3 Survivor Series where the main event was the Survivor Series.
Okay. And then, yeah. And I'm trying to think, I mean, I know one was like a Raw versus SmackDown. Might've been one that involved like the Authority. Right. So there's just that's crazy. So that's only 3 in the last 15. The main event has been an actual Survivor Series match.
You had a Team Raw and Team SmackDown. You're right. It was Team Cena versus Team Authority. And then the other one, you got to go literally all the way back to 2005, which was a Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. And wow. So now recently I was 2019, where, like, you know, the invasion angles and kind of introducing NXT, I thought they had some good ideas with like the championship match where you bring the three champions from each of the brands and kind of have them kind of duke it out, because that was
I think they've done a good. I think they've done a good job with that. You know,
yeah, in right.
NXT, like, Lesnar Bryan, awesome match. Lesnar AJ, awesome match. The three-way, you know, that they did, including, you know, NXT, those have been some good ones. There's been some really good women's matches.
Yeah. And I think that you know, and we've said it before, like, do you do, like, you know, the team angle of a little animosity there between Cena and The Rock and kind of Rock tagging and Cena.
Look at Cena. He's just such a dork. You know, the old question in politics of, oh, would you have a beer with that guy? It's like, if you gave me a list of top wrestlers, like top superstars, he'd be like the last one that you'd want to have a beer with, right?
See, I used to not be a Cena fan, and now I am a Cena fan. It's just weird. Like, you know, that's wrestling for you, though. It kind of comes and goes.
Yeah, but would you rather have a beer with Cena or Austin?
Oh, shit.
Cena or Taker.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'd go down the list. I mean, yeah, I respect Cena more than I did 5 years ago. Still wouldn't be, you know, in my top 50 of, you know,
yeah,
professional wrestlers I'd want to have a beer with.
Right. Absolutely. So I think they were onto something with the three brands and kind of doing something there. I've been preaching it since almost the day we started this show of, like, do a Legends versus kind of active, you know, kind of, you know, match. And I think that would work really well. You know, and kind of playing it up that way. And there have, like, when it's done well And again, like, you know, I feel like, you know, building the invasion angle like 2-3 weeks prior to, or 2-3 months prior to the show, it really, it was 2-3 weeks recently. Like, you know, it just doesn't make a ton of sense. Of course, you got like the Becky Lynch spot with her nose fucking busted because of all that and stuff. And so, you know, there have been moments that have come from some of that. But at the same time, like, I just feel like you said, like, while it is one of the big four, it, like, especially this card itself, and then looking at some of these other ones, it does not always feel like a big four, which isn't necessarily as big of a focus anymore because they have to put on a show every month. But it's so, just lost its luster.
So let me ask you this. Should they have made this a Survivor Series match instead?
No, but, and I think the card played out. I mean, that's the thing. It was the best match on the card, so it made sense for it to be the main event. But I don't know how you could, like, from a story, for me, you had the tag team, like, you know, the Rock and Cena kind of, you know, we're halfway at this point to WrestleMania, so kind of reminding people of, like, hey, here's what they're building toward. I think that would have been lost if this was a Survivor Series match.
Yeah, and I actually don't disagree with you. I think you're right. I think the same thing. You do the main event. I think they did a good job. You know what's funny is because I wanted to look at the card because going in is when I knew we were going to do this match, I'm like, all right, you know, Miz, R-Truth, eh. Here's the problem. Jeff, who was active at this time that you put in this spot?
Well, even the people that you listed off for
there
the
is
Survivor
no one.
Match, yeah.
Like, I mean, like, who are the star? I mean,
Randy Orton was the biggest name. Yeah.
I the only guys I wrote down, I was like Orton, Big Show, Mark Henry, and there's no alliance between them there. You'd have to create, you know, at least with these two, there was a tag team and it kind of made sense. I mean, there was nothing.
Yeah. No, it you know, it was people they didn't believe in. So like Cody Rhodes, like they weren't put, you know, they weren't a big deal with him. Like Kofi, like, you know, this is pre New Day. And so, you know, not a lot happening there. Like, you know, Jack Swagger is making it work and, you know, WWE, but no, but at the time, who cared? You know, that's what it boiled down to. Like, and even this one, like CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio, like that one, you know, even if you had put that as the main event and swap these, and I say this was the quote bathroom match, like that didn't make sense. Like, you know, CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio weren't going to meet or, you know, headline this one. You needed to tell the story. I think that, you know, we talk a lot of time about a it just happens like a match setting, you know, a match happens because all it's doing is setting up a story. This match happened because it's continuing the Cena Rock story, and that's it. Like, and good for Miz and R-Truth to be in it, but you know, that's the reality. At the end of the day, it kept that storyline after 6 months alive.
Pretty ho-hum match. I mean, really nothing remarkable of it, just kind of a traditional tag team match.
And Cena's been doing most of the work here, which we'll talk about after. But yeah, he's been taking most of the bumps. The Rock's been doing a little bit here, you know, just being The Rock and his persona. But Cena's been handling most of the heavy lifting to this point. Yeah.
So, as I was doing my prep for the show again, I'm like, well, you know, Miz, R-Truth, come on, who else could they have put in this spot? You look at the card and you're like, well, gosh, really no one. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, well, where are all the stars at? Okay.
Yeah.
So I went back to the previous WrestleMania. Okay. You had Edge on that card, but that was his final match, you know, before the neck injury. Your main event was Miz and Cena. Obviously, both of them are in this match. You had Taker, Triple H won, but clearly neither of those guys was working at this card. There was an Orton Punk match on the show. So again, maybe you use Orton or maybe Punk, but Punk was a good guy. You know, so I mean, he didn't fit in this spot. So there's really nothing. Then I go to the following year, right? Where you had Rock, Cena 1. I look at that WrestleMania card. There's nobody on there. Punk and Jericho were like the only two stars. Okay. Yeah. So there is no one. So then I'm thinking, you know, do you remember at this time how, and this was really the catalyst for CM Punk leaving the company. His whole thing was, look, I'm carrying everything. I'm working the main events. I've been the champion forever. Instead of letting me headline WrestleMania, you bring back The Rock. I have to job out the title to him and then you screw me. So as much as sometimes I think Punk can be a little whiny, He wasn't wrong here. There were no other stars. He was carrying the company, but then they take the strap off him and don't put him in these spots. And instead, you know, you got The Miz headlining the Garden, headlining WrestleMania. Then you have the part-timer come in, get the title, and headline along with Cena, who, you know, spent 15 years on top. So I don't think Punk was wrong as you go through and you look at all this.
Well, and you went back to the WrestleMania. Even if you look at the pay-per-view before this, which was Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, the main event of that one was CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio, who wrestled on this match before, or who wrestled on this card before this match. CM Punk and Alberto Del Rio. Like,
and remember, this started his long title reign. He was champion for over a year.
But that one, too. So, you know, just a couple weeks before this, too, you had Cody Rhodes and Booker T had a match. Big Show and Mark Henry. Sheamus and Jack Swagger. Like you said, so, like, Randy Orton and Wade Barrett. Like, and so, yeah, it's, like, all the same players. But like you said, like, I think that's a great point, and it's maybe one for us to dig into a little bit. In this, like, 2011 period, like, who were the stars? Like, I get, like, they, you know, building stars, but who are they even trying to build? Like, there isn't. Like,
I know. I mean, it was, you know, look, I know people sometimes bag on Triple H. Where would this business be? Where would WWE be if they hadn't done NXT?
Right.
I mean, honestly, where were these guys going to come from? So that's where I look at this roster, the guys they had right now, and you wonder where is everyone? Where's the superstars? Well, there were none. You know, I mean, there was no development at this point, really. There were no stars. I mean, I know we bag on the current product, but the roster to me is loaded. The issue with WWE in 2020 is not talent. Like,
no,
2011
long time. Yeah.
2011. You look at this card, you look at the WrestleMania cards, you look at what they were doing. The roster sucks. Okay. Mm-hmm. The roster was just bad. There just wasn't talent. Now there's plenty of talent. Now talent's not the issue. The issue now, I believe, is character development and booking. They both suck. But the idea of, like, you know, talented men and women, gosh, I mean, there were no women at this stage, really. And, you know, the men was just thin and wasn't great. Now, gosh, there's so many, you know, I mean, really talented men and women. Again, the characters, not that great. The booking, bad. But it's there. At this point, man, the cupboard was just bare.
Yeah, and I said Tables, Ladders, Chairs was before. The Tables, Ladders, and Chairs was after this one. Vengeance was before this, so please don't come at me, Twitter. But if you do go to the one previous to this, Vengeance, it was Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena was the main event of that one. But again, you had Mark Henry, Big Show again. You had Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes. You had Sheamus and Christian. Beth Phoenix was carrying the women's division at this point. You know, you had Dolph Ziggler and Zack Ryder. So, like, again, it's all the same players just kind of shuffled into these cards. Like, nobody, and it was the dark match of that, of the previous, the Vengeance, the paper previous, the dark match was Wade Barrett and Daniel Bryan. Like, Daniel Bryan was, like, doing a dark match on that one. Like, just, and he wasn't on this card, the Survivor Series card. So it's just, like, you know, it just doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, why wasn't Daniel Bryan part of that? You know, they just didn't care, you know. But then you had John Morrison. You had a couple weird names on this one, but yeah. So we
have not talked much about this match. And you know, the reason why is it's just such a ho-hum tag match. I mean, this is like a TV tag match, right? Like, okay, the heels are beating up on one of the baby faces, and the, you know, the workers. Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's just nothing. And
Cena's been in the ring almost the entire match.
Yeah, I mean, Rock came in, did his stuff, and then Cena's been in there. He's taken a beating from the heels. There has not been a spot or a, oh, wow, that was cool. Or, I mean, there's obviously no brawling. This is just a ho-hum.
Well, and it's playing, I say it's the formulaic tag team of, like, the heels are working over the one person, you know, the hot tag, like, we've got less than 5 minutes or, you know, 7 or 8 minutes left in this match, but, you know, so the hot tag's coming, but, you know, they're still working.
Sound when it is, but right now there's just nothing, man, nothing. So let me ask you this. And as of this recording, we don't know the answer, but do we get Rock Reigns at WrestleMania? And do you want Rock Reigns at WrestleMania?
And you've asked me this before, and I'll be honest, we haven't talked about it much. We've texted like, hey, this is probably going to happen. I think that they may be trying, at least between The Rock and Reigns, they may be trying to fix that moment where, was it Rumble when, The Rock raised Roman's hand and all they got was booed?
Brooklyn.
And so the fans wanted it not at all.
Yeah.
And so I have a feeling that they could be trying to remedy some of that past kind of, history on that. If the story makes sense, I would watch that match because I think the two of them, there could be some really good chemistry there,
I mean, obviously,
but look, just to do it, I definitely don't want that. I need to know why I'm getting it. No, yeah,
but they would. Rock's gonna do
you
it.
Never know, but yeah.
If Rock's going to do it, there's going to be a build, there's going to be a story. They're going to try their best. The only two guys, and tell me if I'm missing someone, the only two guys to me that really make sense for Rock are Reigns or Lesnar.
Yeah.
If I had to pick, man, give me Rock Lesnar, make it huge, give me maybe a celebrity referee, make it the main event, build WrestleMania around it. Put them both on ESPN, right? Like the idea of like a star-studded Rock Lesnar match, that to me would be really, really, really interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
That's probably what I prefer. That being said, my second option, you do the Rock Reigns thing. The only thing I don't like about it is The Rock ain't winning. Okay. You know what you're getting. You know the build. You know Rock. I mean, they don't dislike each other. So the build isn't like Rock Cena where it's like, oh God, do they really don't like each other? This is actually really good. It would be more of a, oh, I respect you. And then Reigns is kind of a heel. And the family stuff. I mean, it's an okay build. It's not great. The match, it'll be okay. It won't be great. And then you know what's going to happen. Reigns wins. They shake hands and hug afterwards, and you try to give them the
rock. Confetti falls. Yeah,
fireworks go off. It's probably Rock's last match. And, so that's what you give me Rock Lesnar, it's like, I really don't know what they're going to do, and it could be really interesting. So, again, I guess that's where I sit on it. I'd rather Rock Reigns than no more Rock matches. So it's better than nothing.
Right. Well, and this is one too, where I know you don't follow New Japan close, but like the G1 Climax just wrapped up, which is their big weekly or month long tournament. There's the hot tag for you. So we know what the main event of Wrestle Kingdom, their WrestleMania, is going to be like already. Like, it's Kota Ibushi won. And so I like knowing that too. Like he's going to take on Naito if he's still the champ, which he is currently like. And so knowing that, like as far out as we are, I wish we could have some more of that in WWE. And so The Rock going for the sharpshooter now.
Yeah, we already hit the Rock bottom on our truth. So The Rock got the hot tag.
The fans are on their feet finally. Yep. Yeah.
Got the sharpshooter on.
Trying to get to the ropes. Yep. So that was pretty much we got a rock bottom and a sharpshooter from The Rock, and that's like it. He doesn't even have it like synced in that well.
No, Bret Hart always hates when other people do the sharpshooter because he says no one does it as well as him. Shocking.
Shocking, but also not untrue in this moment. So
I feel bad for Bret Hart. He's just like, I mean, he's kind of just like an angry person. Like, I think he's just always been that way. And I like him. I like his work, but he's just so bitter.
Well, and I think too,
that when you're 65, if you've, made a bunch of money, been a big star in your industry, like you think you just like have fond memories and be happy, but it's just, he's just, I mean, he's just
he's not always. I see, but I think he's like the smartest guy in the room type thing when it comes to wrestling. I think that like
never hurt anyone. He always had great matches. He always did different things. He knows more than everyone. He's always on the right side of history. Blah blah blah. All right, yeah, I know.
Big spine buster.
No, let's listen to this. We just got The Rock hitting the spine buster.
Fans just say about there goes the elbow pad into the crowd.
Yes, me,
and here you go. And people's elbow. 1, 2, 3. That's it. Spinebuster, people's elbow. That's what you get.
I hate matches ending with the people's elbow. It is such a goofy move. I hate that they end it that way.
I get it, but I'm with you. Like, do the rock bottom. You could have easily, like, he could have popped up, you know, selling it and then taking a rock bottom, and it would have made sense. Yep.
But there you go, man. The Rock in the Garden. People will go home happy. And Jeff, here's the thing. When you have a mega star, you can get away with a lot of bullshit. Okay. Yep. When Steve Austin was hot, you know, everyone glamorizes the Attitude Era. Oh, it was perfect. It was great. A lot of it sucked. But when Steve Austin had a great 20-minute main event and won and pounded beers after, everyone went home happy. Same deal with Hogan, right? You know, a lot of the stuff that WWF did in the 80s was really, really shitty. And you sat on your hands and kind of watched it, and the wrestlers weren't that great, and the storylines weren't that great. But Hulk Hogan came out, Hogan posed, everyone went home happy. So you can get away with a lot when you have a star. This card sucked, okay? A lot of it was really bad, but if you went to the Garden, you went nuts when The Rock came out. You enjoyed this match, even though it really wasn't that great of a wrestling match. You got The Rock doing the people's elbow, winning the match. Place goes nuts. You know, now we got a little interaction with Cena and Rock to end it. You get The Rock bottom, you'll go home happy. You get away with a lot when you have stars. So superstars matter, and I think the 50-50 booking and the, everyone's going to win and lose, and we're going to swap titles all the time, means that they just don't have superstars now.
Yeah. Well, and it's the...
There are no mega stars.
Yeah. No, and I get the send them home happy idea, but... Yep. All right, you ready to get to the end of this?
So let's go ahead and get into the aftermath.
Ho! It's time for the aftermath.
All right, initial thoughts.
Not as good as I expected. I think that it probably meant more to like the people in the match when you got like the Miz and R-Truth taking on Cena and The Rock and kind of who they are. And then also like, and we're kind of watching the match after now, Cena and The Rock are in the ring. Like it's the storytelling of it. That's, you know, like I said, this match was to continue telling that story, and that was it.
Yeah. It was what it was, right? You know, it's, did you advance the storyline? Yes. Did you pop a bigger buy rate? Yes. Did, you know, Rock get to work the Garden? Yes. You know, see, you did what you needed to, but that's all you did.
Yep.
The match was not great. Nothing was remarkable about this. Nothing was memorable. You know, it was what it was. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. So aftermath storyline, hit us with it. And then let's hear what the experts have.
Yeah. So not a ton. Sadly for Awesome Truth, they actually broke up the next night. And so after Miz attacked the R-Truth, gave him the skull crushing finale. And that was it. Now, this was actually a cover because R-Truth was then suspended for violating the wellness policy. And so they broke up because of that, you know, short lived really, you know, that summer until now for Awesome Truth. And so, I like the tag team. I think they worked, but very quickly, you know, dissolved, you know, because of Cena. So you had eventually, though, R-Truth returning and attacking Miz. So the two of them had a little bit of a feud after that. But and again, carrying over into Royal Rumble, actually, as well. And then the Miz, both him and the Miz being eliminated. And so, you know, just it kind of played out that way. You know, interesting, I say. But, you know, having that go over, just, you know, it unfortunate just how quickly it ended. And so you've got that. Now, in the immediate aftermath of this match, so we now, I still have it on. I don't know if you do. You know, building, of course, to the WrestleMania match, The Rock just gave Cena a rock bottom in the kind of post-show, kind of what we're dealing with right now. But again, this match was really like laid out already for us. So we knew what was kind of happening. We knew what was going to go on. You know, a lot of promos and things like that, you know, really throughout this of them kind of, you know, talking to each other and things like that. But between the two of them, that was really it. You know, Cena had a couple matches again with the Miz and things like that, but it just not a ton. And so it really, you know, this story, if you will, between the four of them was gone. So it was one of the tag teams. And we still had a couple months before we finally got to the payoff between The Rock and Cena, which we will talk about on a later episode. So I'll kind of hold off on that one. But yeah, just not a ton. So, but what did they say? Like you said, the experts, things like that. And so I was actually very surprised by this. So the PWI rankings, The Miz was number one this year. Cena was number three. R-Truth was 51 and The Rock was not ranked. And so I was surprised by how high The Miz was ranked. It kind of shows you like, but again, this goes to who was your star power. The Miz was the star power at this point. So,
I know you. It's true.
Yep. And so the Pro Wrestling Torch, they gave this one 3.25 stars. And so it kind of echoes a little bit of what you and I have said. So for the most part, they gave the crowd what they came for. Rock was actually somewhat limited in what he did, as Cena did almost all of the selling and Rock didn't take many bumps. What he did do looked good and worked in the context of the match. There really wasn't a big storyline development. Nothing was forwarded in the match itself other than a continuation of the tension between them. With a few potential minor misunderstandings. Miz and Truth were so not treated as perceived, were so not treated or perceived as threats that the win itself didn't really get the pop it could have had WWE built Truth and Miz as stronger heels. Which I, you know, they didn't, because who knows when he popped the positive test, and you know, they knew that they were going to have to dissolve it. So it kind of makes sense why they didn't. So the Wrestling Observer newsletter here, in this one, I actually didn't see the star rating on this one. I don't know why I didn't listen to my notes here, but nope, I lied about that. Also 3.5 stars versus the 3.25 stars that we got. So 3.5 on this one, but Madison Square Garden has some emotion for Dwayne Johnson, because it was at the 1996 Survivor Series in that building where he made his WWF television debut as Rocky Maivia, winning an elimination match. It's also where he had his final match of his career at the 2004 WrestleMania, teaming with Mick Foley to lose to Ric Flair and Randy Orton and Batista. At one point, he was considered wrestling at the 2005 WrestleMania, but his contract with WWE expired and it was not renewed. The Rock tearing down the house at Madison Square Gardens on interviews or even having a good match in his first time back as a participant in 7.5 years should have been expected. But watching a guy at 39 be even quicker than he was at 29, well, the first impression for his first in-ring sequence since 2004 was not expected, with a few lightning-fast arm drags and quick house cleaning of the foils, R-Truth and Miz. From a wrestling standpoint, the show was really no better than a WWE pay-per-view show, and worse than many of the better ones. But almost everyone enjoyed it because they came to see one thing, and that one thing delivered, and the atmosphere made it come across as a special and historic night. The best since Money in the Bank, which that was the John Cena CM Punk. The crowd had its mind made up all night and about what it wanted and what it was going to stand out and what it didn't want. And so he said, you know, this was kind of Meltzer himself, the biggest match feel in WWE since the John Cena and CM Punk encounter from Money in the Bank earlier that year. And like I said, 3.5 stars. So you want to go first?
Yeah, you know, I don't have a ton to add to that just because I think everything that was said is dead on, right? I mean, you got your moment. It was what it was. I said, you know, it was a ho-hum tag match. Nothing remarkable about it, but the Garden went crazy. Fantasy booking-wise, there's really not a whole hell of a lot you could do better. The idea of a tag match made sense. Putting them together made sense. There were no better opponents for them. So, for the match and the moment of this and the aftermath and kind of our payoff score, I'm going to put this at a 6. A 6 because, you know, the negatives being the opponents were not great. The match was not great. There was no real natural build or heat or storyline around these four guys. That's the negative. The positive being The Rock's back after all these years. Madison Square Garden goes crazy. We're in the midst of this year-long build for a WrestleMania main event that I thought was great. I thought the build to the Mania main event was great. Those promos and stuff were awesome. So again, it's there's some good and some bad. I level it off at a 6. What about you?
I too am going to give it a 6 for pretty much the same reason as you did. I very much agree. I think there's a very big distinction between the biggest big match feel in WWE, because I think that the, like, it on paper, it made, you know, should have been bigger than it was, and it felt like such a big deal. I'm going to drop a new word on you. It's one, like, you know, that it's just random, but like, as I like to say, it was an anticiporection, because the anticipation got us all super excited, but then the match itself just kind of failed. And so, like, you know, we were all excited, you know, that, you know, ready for kind of what was coming, and then it just kind of didn't. And so I think this is one too, where it was the case where, while, like you said, it was a fine match. There was nothing wrong with it per se. It just, and it did have a big feel because of Cena and Rock, not necessarily because of Miz and R-Truth, which, not to, you know, shit on them at all. But
it is, but here's the thing. It's like, it is cool seeing like a big fight feel. And I feel like the right venue, the right crowd, the right atmosphere will make up for a lot of shit. And so it's like, I you know, how many big fight feels do we get? Well, hell, this year we've got none, right? Like, I forgot that Edge actually happened in 2020, like that massive pop. It's like, since then, we just haven't had that big fight feel and that feeling. I miss it, and I can't wait for it to come back.
Well, and you're like, and it did, like, you're right. It was Madison Square Garden. It was just, you know, they kind of had, all the pieces were there, but for whatever reason, it didn't go well. And so, and this is like too, because had this been, you know, in like, you know, some like Midwest city, would the crowd have been as receptive, you know? And we all hear the stories of, like, you know, just, you know, venues that are terrible for, you know, WWE, and just no pops whatsoever kind of dealing with that. You know, it just, who knows? But, you know, I think, you know, like Birmingham, Alabama, like, they, you know, I, for whatever reason, I remember like one show where that, like, they just didn't pop. And it may have just been that one show. But, you know, it happens all the time where the crowd just, if they're not into it. But they were into this one. Like you said, they were sports entertained. It sent them home happy. But I think you and I both giving it a 6. The only reason I was going to give it a 5. And the only reason I bumped it up a little bit because of the people in the match. I mean, that was really it. So yeah, but that's all I got. I know that's all you got. You want to, any final thoughts, anything like that?
No. Payoff Pod, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Hit us up. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. As always, we appreciate you listening.
Yeah, for sure.
Did you like this show?
I did like this show. This was, I mean, not the whole card, but it was pretty good. I think so.
I think it was awesome.
Oh boy, got me. You know what? As soon as you started talking, I was like, fuck, you got me. All right. Good job. Give us that send off, my friend.
All right. As always, thank you for joining us on The Payoff.